We've got your Sestra, we've got Honorable Maleka, Honorable Baha, Honorable Simeon, Honorable Lutuli, Honorable Ndokungeni, and Honorable Christians. Honorable Maleka is requesting to log off at 15. She's got a doctor's appointment, but she will rejoin us after the appointment. Thank you, sir.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. Honourable members, that's the agenda. Opening and welcome. As you see it on the any mover for the adoption of the agenda as it is. Of course there will be some changes here and the DG of the department, science and innovation, has asked to be released early, so he will be able to give the will be the only change. The first presentation will be done by science and innovation. That is the only change. And here's the agenda. Anyone who's moving for adoption of this agenda? Any mover?
I move, Chair.
I move. Oh, okay.
The Honorable Gillian moves. Any seconder?
I second, Chairperson.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Honorable Bacho. We have divided the briefings into two parts. There will be first the Department of Science and Innovation, and then followed by the Department of Higher Education and Training. Each will be given 45 minutes. And then the rest of the time will be given to engagements and discussions and based on the programs. Without much ado, let me give to the minister to give us words of welcome and give over to the DG of Science and Innovation to kickstart the presentation so that we have more time in discussions than in, Thanks a lot. Honorable Minister, you're welcome, and your team. Good morning, and over to you.
Honorable Chair, my apologies. As you can see, I am traveling, which is not the very ideal way of engaging with yourselves, but you will excuse me because I have no choice. I'm actually flying out. So I hope that we won't get disturbed much. I've got very few things to say, Chair. Firstly, to say thank you very much to you for the invitation for us to come and account. And maybe to start, as you are starting with the Department of Science and Innovation, I just need to say that firstly, I wish to, as the portfolio, as the select committee may be aware, that our DG of Joaca and the Department of Science and Innovation have been voted the best DG and the best department and got the Batupile Awards for the 2019-2020 financial year, which is something that makes us all proud. And as you will see, our initiatives in the Department of Science and Innovation that we are going to be talking about, that the DG is going to outline in detail, they are aligned to the broader government agenda of transforming South Africa and in line with the objectives of the National Development Plan. And of course, the NDP acknowledges that the role that science, technology and innovation can play in addressing the structural challenges of poverty, unemployment and inequality is very important. Internationally, science, technology and innovation and related discoveries are recognized as future sources of economic growth. In fact, what also guides us, Chair, is that without a skills-driven and an innovation-based economic recovery, growth and development strategy, we're not going to achieve our objectives of dealing with the poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And that is the framework that actually guides us. So as you are aware, Chair, the annual performance plan that we are going to be dealing with here actually deals with the last year of the fifth administration, which actually covers the issues that one would see in a way as being in a, having been in a transition. The department's achievements cover various components that were made in the MTSF. The DG is going to come in with a lot of details. All what we want to say is that we've also done fairly well, Chair, in achieving our main objectives that we've actually set for ourselves. Also partly why this department has been recognized as being one of the best departments, including the fact that we've also got an unqualified audit, which is something that is very important for us. Similarly, Chair, the department, if I may as well just raise this, of higher education and training, the DG will also outline the achievements in terms of our own goals that we had set for ourselves, and that, of course, the Department of Higher Education and Training has been faced with enormous challenges. As we know, this is a very big sector, and we are a department in government that has got the single largest number of entities, and we've got huge challenges of governance in our sector. But despite all these complex challenges, I'm happy to say, Chair, we've also achieved an unqualified audit, and we've also achieved many of the objectives that we've set for ourselves. There's been much improvement, for instance, in the participation of Black South Africans in the university system. And also we are stabilizing our TVET colleges, and we have improved our exam system. We have also now established our community education and training colleges in the 9 provinces as part of streamlining the work that actually needs to be done. So on the whole, despite the many challenges that we still have, we are of the view, Chair, that what we are going to be presenting to you today, it actually marks very significant progress and the achievement by this ANC government in this hugely, hugely important area. Perhaps I need to add, Chair, which also to end by saying this, that we are now making this presentation within the context of completely changed circumstances, which of course, as we evaluate what we'll be presenting today, you will have to bear in mind. The first thing, of course, is that we now have a new emerging landscape, which is the higher education science and innovation landscape. By bringing together these two departments, higher education and training on the one hand, and science and innovation on the other hand. And this bringing together by the president of these two departments under one ministry gives us enormous opportunities to better realign our skills and innovation strategies, which are two very critical issues in turning our economy around. The other thing, Chair, that we have to take into account, of course, is the impact of COVID-19. That as we evaluate what happened before COVID-19, but we need to bear in mind what are the implications of what we've done and achieved in terms of moving forward, because we have to do now a lot of adjustment going forward. I know we are looking back, but we can't look back only. We have to bear in mind also where we are actually going to. I think there's that background, Chair, that should be enough. Both the DGs then are going, as we have given them time, are going to be giving members of the select committee the details so that you are actually able to engage. With that, Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much. It's up to you, Chair, then, as we had said, to hand over to the DGs to make the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Honourable Minister. We pride ourselves with the department's achievements. Getting a clean audit 3 times in succession, without serious emphasis of matters, nothing at all, and that this makes us proud. And I just think that I wish that other departments will get inspired by what is happening within these two departments. You are a beacon of hope and light for everybody, and it's good that it is happening within this sector, which is charged with 5 very important goals, Honourable Minister. That of knowledge, utilizing knowledge to build the economy. We all know what those 5 goals are. Without going deeper into this, let's give to the DG to lead us in the presentation. You really make us proud. Thank you. DG, introduce your team and do the presentation.
Yes, thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks to yourself and the Minister, Honourable Members. I am accompanied by Deputy Director General and the Acting Chief Financial Officer. I'd probably ask them to switch on their videos and just say a few words about who they are, and then I will go straight to the presentation, Chair. So shall we start with Dan? We can't hear you, Dan. David?
Thanks, DG, and good morning, Honourable Members, Chair Minister. My name is David Makula. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for Institutional Planning and Support. Thank you.
Apologies, perhaps my microphone...
Don't you want to give it a second try?
DG, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me now? Good morning. Honourable Members, my name is Don De Tuey. I'm the Deputy Director General for International Cooperation and Resources.
Thank you, Don. Is Mboneni joined? He had a problem with the connection.
Good morning, DG, and good morning, Honourable Members. I've joined. My name is Mboneni Mohothe. I'm the DDG for Technology Innovation.
Thanks, Mboneni. Imran?
Good morning, Honourable Members. Imran Patel, DDG, Socioeconomic Innovation Partnerships, or Program 5.
Thanks, Imran. I'm not so sure if DDG Nombuisela Corporate Services has joined. I hadn't seen a name. If she is, I hope she can also introduce herself, and then followed by Robert, the acting... Nombuisela?
Yeah, I'm here. My name is Nombuisela Mukwena. I'm DDG responsible for corporate services. Thank you.
Thanks. Could we ask Robert then to introduce himself? Then we'll start, Chair, and I know you have given us 45 minutes. We'll try and stick to that.
Good morning. My name is Robert Shagu. I'm the Acting Chief Financial Officer of the Department. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So I will then try and share the presentation, Chair, and hope that we will all be able to see it. I know it takes some time. It says you are now sharing. I hope you can see the presentation.
DG, we can see it. It is on the screen, yeah.
All right. Thank you very very much. Now it's not closing.
I suggest that you continue with the presentation and then they'll fly it as we go. They'll go to the slide where, because I'm worried you're eating into the 45 minutes that is allocated to the team.
Yes.
It's just a little technical glitch. I think it will be...
I'm trying to open it, and this always happens, Chair. If it's going to take some time, maybe we should ask our colleagues from DHAT if they are ready. Let me just see what's going on here. Otherwise, we may lose a lot of time. I'll still be able to do it after them at 45 minutes time.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, Minister, and colleagues, honorable members. Should we load the DHET presentation? Yes, thank you very much, Chair, Minister, honorable members, and colleagues. This is the presentation of the Department of Higher Education and Training. Mr. Mkiba will quickly take us through as requested by the Chair. Over to you, Mr. Mkiba. Are you comfortable?
Thank you, DG. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Mkiba.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, Minister and colleagues at large. As requested, I'm going to be taking you through the presentation for the annual department's annual report 2019-2020. And the slide you see in front of you is just the outline. And you see the presentation is categorized in terms of two sections. One focusing on the performance on the predetermined objectives, and the last part focusing on the financial information. In terms of the second slide, just to remind honorable members that the presentation is focusing on the financial year ending March 31, 2020. And it seeks to reflect on the performance against the commitments that we have tabled with yourselves in terms of the annual performance plan, which at that time we indicated that we were going to focus on two strategic areas. One, in terms of the implementation of the steering mechanisms that the department has been developing over the 5 years strategic plan period. And secondly, also to undertake various interventions to address the challenges of the PSET system. So what we're presenting today, as indicated, is a reflection on the department's oversight in terms of the programs that they were implemented during the year under review. And lastly, also to indicate that the oversight focus was mainly on the utilization of funds at an institutional level, teaching and learning support, institutional governance, as well as infrastructure development and maintenance. This particular slide seeks to reflect the, in terms of our oversight, the focus areas as I've indicated, one being the financial health of institutions. And as we had indicated that from time to time, particularly around July, universities are required to submit annual reports. And those are the reports we use to actually look into their finances. The purpose is to identify institutions requiring support and or intervention. And in terms of the reports, you may have noticed that what we have already indicated in the annual report, the report are meant to provide insight into the finances, especially the sustainability of the institutions themselves within the sector. The other area also is in terms of infrastructure development and maintenance. This is the area that is happening across the system, particularly in respect to universities, as well as TVET colleges. Also, the focus here is on the utilization of funds, wherein we monitor implementation and progress thereof for both sectors. And lastly, in the area of transformation, as members would remember that the department is implementing a Staffing South Africa's universities framework, under which the is University Capacity Development Program, as well as new generations of academics within the universities. For this also, we produce annual reports reflecting progress in terms of implementation. Now, in terms of the targets, Chairperson, we had about 69 targets for the financial year. And 40 of those were the direct outputs of the department, of which 78%, which is 31, have been achieved. And the remaining 29 targets relate to the access, success, transformation issues within the PSET system. And 59% of those, which is about 17, have been achieved. In the overall, 70% of the 69 targets have been achieved, Chairperson, which is translates to 48 targets of the 69. So in terms of programs, there are about six budget programs in the department, and I'm going to start off with the core delivery programs, starting with the university education program, which is a program that develops and coordinates policy and regulatory frameworks for the university education system. It is also the program that supports National Student Financial Aid Scheme, which is NSFAS, as well as the National Institute for Higher Education. There are about six sub-programs, which I'm not going to go through within the program. The objectives, strategic objectives that we had committed to for the year under review, as indicated, one is in relation to development of policies, guidelines for the sector, but also in the main provision of teaching and learning support services that are aimed at improving access to quality teaching and learning within the university education sector. So against these objectives, there were about 10 targets for the year, and 9 of those have been achieved. So this slide here seeks to display the 9 targets that have been achieved. I'm not going to go through each of those, but you know, it suffices to indicate that all the 9 targets that were planned have been achieved, Chairperson, and key to those It's the guidelines for student funding within the university, within the university sector, which were developed and approved by the minister within the planned time frame, but also in terms of the ministerial statement in regards to university enrollment planning for the next 5 years ending 2025, that was developed and approved by the minister as planned. And as I indicated, as part of implementing the new generations of academics program, there were about 100 new posts that were allocated to universities as per plan. And in terms of the development of additional academic and professional staff within universities, about 134 of those were actually supported to pursue doctoral studies through the University Capacity Development Program. There were about 12 oversight reports, as I indicated, key to our focus for the year was on the implementation of the various funding grants that we have as a department for the university education system. And against those, in terms of implementation, we have produced about 12 oversight reports, one being the financial health of universities. I think I've already alluded to that. The use of foundation provision and grant, as well as teaching and learning development capacity improvement programs. So, Chair, I'm not going to go through all of these, but these are the oversight reports that we're producing. And I think the committee is free to also invite the department to submit these comprehensive reports for the final details of the content of these reports. There was one target that was not achieved, and that relates to the draft regulatory framework for university fees. This framework could not be finalized for approval by the minister at the time of the end of the financial year, although the draft was developed, but it was not ready for submission to the minister. Work to date has been undertaken in terms of finalizing this framework, although there were delays. As you would know, members, that the COVID-19 and the associated national lockdown has actually impacted on some of the work that the department had planned to do. In relation to the performance of the universities at large in terms of access and success, as I indicated earlier on, there were about 16 systemic targets, ranging from enrollments, graduations, as well as transformational targets that relates to good governance within the university education system. And of those, only 4 were not achieved. Chairperson, if you look at the number of students enrolled in universities, you will notice that the target there was surpassed. We had targeted 1,070,000, but 1,085,568 was achieved. Similarly, in terms of the scarce skills areas in the area of engineering services, you will notice there that the target was 13,000, but 13,891 graduates were produced. So in relation to those that were not achieved, the first one is a graduate in human health and animal health from universities. Chair, the challenge here is that that is the first 5.8% underperformance, which is way above the allowed 2% deviation. I think the issue here is that institutions that under-enrolled in terms of the overall targets, it's important to indicate that once we register underperformance, the in terms of consequence management, we penalize such universities in terms of ensuring that the finances or their financial injection for the next financial year or for the next academic year gets withdrawn in terms of those targets that they would have not achieved. In terms of success rates at universities, just a slight underperformance, Chairperson, the target was 78% and only 77% was achieved. In terms of universities offering accredited TVET college qualifications, the target there was 10 and only 9 was only 9 universities were actually accredited by CHE to offer TVET college qualifications. So what I think we can register here is that at no time from now, the remaining university that had submitted to CHE for accreditation will eventually receive accreditation because they've already submitted and they are awaiting a response from CHE. So in terms of that, Chair, this target, I think at the end of the financial year, chances are that CHE would have provided the response to the university that has already submitted. In terms of program four, focusing on TVET and vocational education and training, the purpose of this program, similarly with the university branch, they plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy in respect to TVET and vocational education and training. There are 5 budget programs, which I'm not going to go through. Key objectives were about 3 for the year. One, focusing on the oversight on the effective TVET college system in terms of implementation of programs in relation to programs and qualification, but also in relation to teaching and learning, but also to develop and review TVET steering mechanisms. And this talks to policies, guidelines, regulations, etc. And lastly, to implement oversight instruments in relation to monitoring and evaluation within the sector. There were about 7 targets for the year. Of those, only 2 were achieved. I think this is one of the programs that they actually performed during the year under review. The 2 achievements relate to the compliance of TVET colleges against good governance standards. The annual target there was 65%, and as you will note, that 73% of those actually complied with approved financial governance standards. Secondly, all public TVET college centers also complied with national policy in terms of their conduct on national examinations. The areas where there was underachievement is in relation to infrastructure spending. We had targeted to spend 70%, which is $1,038,000,000 over the financial year, but only 135.2 million was spent, which is 21.7%. Secondly, or before I go to the second one, the challenge that relates to the underspending is that TVET colleges in the main are expected to implement infrastructure development, infrastructure spending in terms of approved work packages. However, most of those are actually above the 500,000 procurement threshold, which therefore require formal tender processes, which sometimes are lengthy, and therefore in terms of spending, that gets delayed. The second thing is that the tender processes, on average, they take about 3 to 4 months to conclude. And as such, there is no way that colleges can begin to spend the allocated funding for infrastructure without following these procurement processes. And because of the lengthy processes, sometimes, as indicated, it takes about up to 4 months to conclude, and that impacts negatively on spending. The second area is the lead time on issuing of certificates. We had a target of issuing certificates within 3 months to qualifying candidates, but it actually took more than 3 months to issue certificates. The main challenge here is COVID-19, because it restricted movement of persons as well as goods between Pretoria and the relevant districts. And as such, it affected the dispatching of certificates, particularly for the November 2019 examinations. The third target that was not achieved is in relation to the funding norms, the revised funding norms. Although processes were underway to actually develop the funding norms for TVET colleges as planned. However, the requisite concurrence from the Minister of Finance was still pending as at the time of compiling the annual report. National Treasury only submitted a formal input around the 20th of March. So this target could not be achieved. The fourth one is in relation to CET Act regulations, which were planned to have been finalized by end of the financial year. They were developed, but they could not be finalized for approval. So there was a draft that was put together. The main challenge there was that the Office of the State Law Advisor actually issued a formal legal opinion indicating that the proposed regulations are not consistent with the CET Act. So with the advice that the department received was actually to reconfigure the proposed regulations into a ministerial determination. The fifth one is in relation to the oversight reports. I think there were about 6 reports that were planned, and out of those, only 4 were produced, and they relate to the certification backlog, performance within the TVET college against a planned enrollment, as well as teaching and learning. In relation to system performance, there were about 9 targets within the TVET college sector. And out of the 9, only 4 were achieved. The main target that was not achieved is in relation to headcount enrollments. We had targeted 710,000 and only 657,000 was achieved. Secondly, it's in relation to enrollments in terms of foundation programs. Only 3,412 instead of the targeted 4,000 was achieved. And in relation to throughput in the NCV Level 4 program, we had targeted 36%, but only 1.80% was achieved. This is the area that has been put as part of the department's research agenda, just to identify the underlying reasons for the lower throughput rates. Chairperson, going forward. In terms of Program 5, this program promotes and monitors the National Skills Development Strategy. It also develops skills development policies as well as the regulatory frameworks to ensure effective skills development system. There are about four programs, budget programs, and for the year under review, there were about five targets, and four of those were achieved. In terms of achievements, in terms of trade testing, on average, it took 37 days to process received applications, and this is a commendable because we had targeted 60 days, and all applications were processed within 40 days. In terms of the pass rate, the target there was 65% and 69.8%, roughly 70% was achieved. There were about 24,049 artisans that were qualified, which is an achievement that surpassed the targeted 24,000. And in terms of oversight, monitoring and evaluation, there were five reports that were produced, and they were covering implementation of good governance standards by CITAS, but also reports that were produced against the National Skills Development Strategy and the implementation thereof by CITAS. One target that was not achieved relates to the artisan learners that were registered during the year. The target was 30,000, but just over half of that could register. I think one of the challenges there, it also relates to the struggling economy the COVID-19 pandemic as well, because the CITAS who were supposed to provide information as at the time of producing the annual report, they were still dealing with the validation processes that was a bit delayed, particularly in relation to quarter four. So the delays in relation to the submission of reports actually meant that the actual performance fell below the targeted 80,000. The two system targets in the skills development arena were the work-based learning opportunities as well as artisan learners that are employed or self-employed, and only the learners employed or self-employed was achieved, because we had targeted 80% and 81% was actually achieved. In terms of work-based learning opportunities, the target was 165,000 and 158,651 was achieved. In terms of community education and training, there were two outputs for the year under review, and both targets were achieved. This program, as with the TVET branch, its purpose is also to plan, develop, implement, monitor, and evaluate a national policy program assessment within the community education and training. There are about four sub-programs in this program, and the two targets that were achieved is a report on the performance of CET colleges that relates to the 2018-2019 academic year. A draft progress report was also produced in relation to the CET sector performance for 1920. System performance, there were two targets. Both enrollment and certification rates could not be achieved. I think there is a bit of a challenge in terms of enrollment within the CET college sector, particularly in terms of the data collection processes. The target was 340,000, but we could only achieve 149,000 following a robust validation processes that was undertaken. The certification rates, it's 44% in terms of actual performance against the targeted 45%. So in relation to headcount enrollment, the challenge there is that there is poor planning at college level, and various CET colleges use different admission tools which compromises the enrollment data. Hence, at the time of validation, a lot was discovered that there's been a lot of duplication and so forth. In terms of certification rate, the reason for the underperformance is that there is inadequate budget to provide sufficient learning and teaching support materials, particularly for students. Secondly, there is lack of suitably qualified lecturers in CET colleges, Chairperson. Program 2 and Program 1 are our support programs, Chairperson, and these are the last two programs. Program 2 focuses on provisioning of strategic direction in terms of development, in terms of implementation, but also in terms of monitoring departmental policies, as well as the human resource development strategy. There are about four sub-programs. The strategic objectives were about five, and I'm not going to go through those, but there were about nine planned outputs, and of those, eight were achieved. Only one target was not achieved. In terms of achievements, the proposed amendments to the NQF were gazetted as planned. There were two reports that were produced to inform policy development, enrollment planning, as well as funding within the PSET system. And these relate to skill supply and demand, as well as statistics on PSET. There are other reports that were produced in relation to social inclusion, implementation of open learning within the system, as well as the national qualifications framework. Education and training materials have been made available on the Open Education Resource Repository as planned. Chair and members, this is part of supporting teaching and learning within the system. There were two new agreements on international scholarships that were entered to as planned. These were signed and accepted by the Director General. And these are scholarships coming from Hungary for 100 scholarships, France 12 scholarships, and this are a contribution to our strategic goals on access. The one target that was not achieved as at the time of compiling the annual report or the end of the financial year is the policy framework on gender-based violence in PSET. It was supposed to have been gazetted by end of March, although processes were underway at that time. Unfortunately, it could not be completed as planned, but I'm pleased to indicate that the policy was subsequently gazetted at the end of July, Chairperson. In terms of administration, this program is responsible for providing strategic leadership, management, and support services in the department. There are about six programs in the program. They had three strategic objectives, and there were about seven planned outputs for the year, and six of those were achieved. In terms of filling funded vacancies within the planned time frame, we had targeted to fill them within 6 months or 180 days. And as you will notice, it was just under over 3 months that we were able to fill a position, the funded vacancies. And this is an improvement if you look at the previous year performance of 159 days. In terms of the percentage of vacancies that have been filled, we had targeted 90% for the financial year under review, and 92.98% were actually filled. All disciplinary cases were resolved within 90 days as planned. In terms of network connectivity, 99.50 connectivity uptime was achieved against a target of 95%. As Minister indicated, once again, the department received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General as planned. The last one is also the development of the remedial plan on all audit findings that were identified by the Auditor General in the previous financial year. The one target that was not achieved relates to the payment of creditors within 30 days. There's just a slight underachievement there, and that relates to or came as a result of miscommunication in terms of processing of transactions and authorization due to large volumes that at times get to be processed within a very short space of time. And the intention then is to sensitize managers to monitor and enforce compliance on this 30-day turnaround processes going forward, Chairperson. From here, going forward, Chair DG, if you can allow me to ask the CFO to take the committee through the financial information. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mkiba.
Thanks, Mr. CFO.
Thanks, DG. Good morning, Chairperson Baten Shabeleng. Good morning, honorable members of the Select Committee. Good morning, Minister. I'll be taking you through the summary of the financial information, which is Part E of the annual report. Part E comprises of the report of the accounting officer, the audit committee, and that of the auditor general. It also comprises the financial statements, which includes the following components: the appropriation statement, which is mainly about the budget expenditure and the variances, also includes the notes to that appropriation statement. We also, under financial statements in the annual report, having the statements of financial performance, which is about the revenue received by the department from different revenue sources. The statement of financial performance also provides the information on the expenditure incurred by the department per economic classification. We also have the statement of financial position. This is normally referred to as a balance sheet. It shows the department's assets and liabilities at the end of the reporting period. And we also then have the statement of changes in net assets, the cash flow statement, etc. Over and above what is contained in Part E of the annual report, I will also touch a little bit on the action plans to be put in place by management and in order to improve the audit findings. We can move to the next slide. Yes, in terms of the report of the accounting officer, it provides a summary of the financial affairs of the department, which I will present when I present the annual financial statement. The accounting officer's report also includes an overview of significant events and key policy decisions that were taken during the period under review. For an example, the 4 months skills development leave payment holiday has been disclosed as a significant event that took place after the reporting date of 31st March 2020. We have agreed with the Auditor General that even though this relief was granted after the end of the financial year, the material effect that it has on the budget of the CTAS warrants that it be reported as a significant event. Hence, it has been reported by the accounting officer as such. Next slide. In terms of the report of the audit committee, which is also contained in the annual report, it expresses concerns on the effectiveness of the internal controls within the department. It highlights the fact that internal controls were not entirely effective, though in other areas they were effective, but there's still a lot of room for improvement in some areas. There were several instances of non-compliance that were still reported by the Auditor General and to some extent also our internal auditors. And also this was specifically referred to the report on the performance information. The audit committee has also mentioned the fact that some of our action plans from the previous audits were not were not implemented effectively, and this because some of our findings were repeat findings. The audit committee was however satisfied that the content and the quality of the monthly and quarterly reports prepared by the department and the financial statements thereof that were prepared by the management were really satisfactory. And they emphasized, as I mentioned earlier on, that the report on performance information still requires further improvement and to ensure that the information that is reported by the department is valid, accurate, and complete. We had chair and members material finding that has affected our audit report. There was an issue that was raised on the usefulness and reliability of the performance information relating to the number of TVET colleges that were being supported by NSFAS. Those issues are being attended to by management, and I would also like to assure this committee that management is taking these concerns very seriously. The DDGs have developed their action plans for the respective branches, and the progress will be tracked accordingly. We also agreed at the EXCO level that the current monitoring mechanism will need to be intensified in order to ensure that there is a noticeable progress and going forward, and also not only focusing on the findings, but rather focusing on putting the preventative control measures in place. Maybe just to conclude on the previous slide is that the audit committee expressed their satisfaction that the internal audit function of the department is operating effectively. And in terms of the audit of the report, of the Auditor General, I'm not going to take longer. I think the minister has already mentioned what were the audit outcomes, and also Mr. Mgiba presented that, because this is also one of our targets in terms of the performance information report. But also just to emphasize that we have received an unqualified audit report, and also that there were no material adjustments on the financial statements that were presented for audit, and there were no material issues on the non-compliance with the legislation. And the one issue that we had, it was on the audit of predetermined objectives, as I have mentioned. We can move. And this is the appropriation statement. I will just present the summary. The detail is in the annual report. The department had a budget of 107.3 billion rand during the year under review. 89 billion rand of that came from the voted funds, and 18.2 billion rand from the direct charges, the money that gets appropriated to the CTAS, 80% of that, and 20% of the direct charges get appropriated to the National Skills Fund. We have spend 88.8 billion rand from the voted funds, and the funds that were appropriated from the direct charges were fully allocated to CTAS and the NSF. And we had an underspending of around 227 million rand, which constitutes 0.2% of the budget. So it means that 99.8% of the budget was spent. Maybe I also just need to indicate that Treasury has set some parameters to determine whether the variance or the understanding is within the acceptable level or not. And that parameters ranges between minus 8% and 8%. So this 0.2% underspending is within those parameters, which then it seems that this underspending is within the acceptable level. We can move. So this is the appropriation segment per program, but here we're showing the breakdown of the unspent budget. We can see from the slide how the 227 million rand, which is the 0.2% underspending, has been broken down in terms of the program. And we can see that most of the unspent funds were from the CET budget, followed by the TVET and administration and university branch. And the reasons being, we had lots of claims that were projected to be paid in February and March from the TVET and the CET sector, and those were delayed. And we also had some positions that were still not filled within those sectors. Hence, we're seeing that those big amounts, and also some expenses that are attributed to the examination services. And we also see the planning policy and strategy, which is a program 2 and the program 5 skills development, having the lowest remaining budget at year end. This now is an appropriation statement per economic classification. Is the same information as presented previous, same unspent amount as presented in the previous slide, but just analyzed differently. We also see actually where does the 227 million rand underspending emanates from. Mainly it came from the compensation of employees and also the goods and services, and is the same reasons that I have mentioned in the previous slide to say we had some unfilled vacancies and some late submission of claims, and those are huge amounts that are related to examination services. We also realized some savings from various areas under goods and services, such as project management fee for the student housing infrastructure project that had students to be deferred, etc. And also we see the last three categories. I'm not going to talk much about them, the transfers, capital and financial assets. They had the lowest remaining funds. And these the top 10 of our goods and services. It actually, when we go to the notes of the annual report, I think it's note number 6 on page 267, it provides the details of the goods and services items. There are 24 items on that note. However, these top 10 items constitute more than 90% of the spending under that note. Hence, we thought maybe it's important just to flag on that. And we can see from the biggest, the item that had the biggest allocation, and so as its corresponding spending, starting from the travel and subsistence, and followed by computer services, all the way down until the audit. The audit costs, so those are the audit fees that are being paid to the general auditor general as our external auditors. We also see on the slide that the consultants, the spending on consultants, which is item number 8, it has a spending of about 21.8 million rand, which represents only 4% of the spending under goods and services. This is evidence that the department has put measures in place to minimize spending on consultants where necessary. Mm-hmm. And these are reasons for variances, and most of them were presented in the previous slide, so I'm not going to repeat those. And these slides, on the other slides, I have reported the money that was spent from with the voted funds. I think I reported that about 88.8 billion rand was spent from the voted funds, and this reflects the portion of transfers and subsidies that was part of that 88.8 billion rand. And it shows that the majority of, I don't have a calculator to work it out quickly, but majority of it, I mean 78.9 billion rand of that, it is attributed to the transfer funding. And we can see more than half of that was transferred to universities, and 30.8 billion rand was transferred to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. And also we see how much funds were transferred to other public entities reporting to the department. The Council on Higher Education, 53.2 million. South African Qualifications Authority, 69.9 million. And Quality Council for Trade and Occupation, QCTO, 26.1 million. And we go down, we see the funding that was allocated also to a higher health aid project, which the higher education aid project, which is run by higher health. Also the funds transferred to National Institute for Humanities and Social Sciences, they got 36.2 million rand. And also we see those subsidies that were sent to the TVET and CET colleges. Can you move? So, Chair and members, this is part of the disclosure note of the financial statements. We just thought maybe it would be appropriate also to include it in the presentation. It comprises what we normally call a non-compliance expenditure. It's normally the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful. I thought it would be important for members to know where we are from what was presented previously and what had transpired as well during the reporting period. And maybe just to for record purposes to maybe report that the department never had any unauthorized expenditure. And in terms of the irregular expenditure, which is note 25 in the financial statement, we had the closing balance of 138.239 million as at the 31st March 2020. And in the previous year, which is the financial year 2018-19, our closing balance was 138.
As you conclude.
Okay. All right. Okay. Here, the movement, we reflecting the difference between the opening and closing balance between the two financial years, which was 45,000 share. This is the amount of irregular expenditure that was incurred by the department in the reporting period. So I just needed to clarify that if members read the big balance in the annual report, it emanates from the previous balances. And then in terms of the 45,000 that was incurred this year, it was an official who extended the service provider scope of work without following proper procurement processes. There are consequence management processes that are in taking place in terms of that. And I'm sure when we come to report for this financial year, we'll be able to report the progress in that regard to the committee. We can move quickly. And then other items, Chair, of six of those seven items are items that were reported in the previous year. And as at the reporting period, there were progress that were made in terms of consequence management. And even subsequent to year end, we have progressed in terms of concluding some investigation and implementing some remedial actions on these cases. So I'm not going to present those cases because they were presented previously. They are not new cases. So we can move until slide 53. Also on slide 53 is just to highlight the fruitless and wasteful expenditure to confirm that the department did not incur any in this reporting period. The balance that is reflected there is the one that we have carried from the previous period, and it's still there because the matter is still not been concluded. It's still under investigation by the Hawks. So we'll keep the committee updated when we present the report for the next cycle. So I'm not going to talk about the action plan. I think I've talked about that. So in terms of the last slide, Chair, as I conclude, is just to give an indication to say whether the spending trends had an impact to the performance of the department or not, and just confirming that no, there was not necessarily any impact. The department tried to contain the level of spending within the limited budget, and also that, but we're just flagging on the last bullet that maybe going forward with the continuous budget cuts, it might be difficult for the department. I mean, it might put lots of pressures to the department in order to for us to properly execute some of our functions.
We'll give you three more minutes and then we're done, otherwise we'll
Okay, thank you. Maybe let me conclude. Let me stop here, Chair. Thank you very much.
Innovation is not a pipe dream. It is achievable. And these are some of the things that shows that we are actually on track and that we are going to save this country going forward. I just hope other departments and people will learn from you. Thanks a lot. Honourable members, the DG has asked to give an input earlier so that they can rush to the airport. But I guess the whole team is not leaving. It's only the DG who will be leaving, who will leave the meeting earlier. And when we engage with this report, the other the team members will be able to answer the questions. Mm-hmm. And I was suggesting that we move into the last presentation so that when we engage, we'll engage with both reports at the same time and both inputs at the same time because they are geared towards the same goal in terms of what we want to achieve as a country. Is that in order, Honourable Members, that we take the second presentation and the questions will be dealt with at the end, please?
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll turn over to the DG to give us the second presentation to the Department of Higher Education and Training. And thanks, DG. Bon voyage. Go well. You make us proud. You made us proud. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you can see the presentation this time.
Yes, it's the same page, DG. Let's hope it moves.
Yes, we see it, DG.
All right, this is the second slide. Is it moving?
Yes.
All right, so we will then talk about the vision and mission, alignment to national priorities, the overall performance, program review, we'll do the finance, and then the select committee chair always requests that we share with you the geographic distribution of the work that we do, so we'll try and do so as well. So we are here to present the annual report for 1920, the vision and mission. We have shared this with you before. We would like to have an increased well-being and prosperity through science, technology, and innovation, and to provide leadership and enabling environment for resources and technology and innovation in support of the development. We contribute to the number of outcomes of this administration, and we quickly share those with you. Outcome 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10. And again, we hope we don't have to mention what they are. But we do want to just remind the select committee our five strategic outcome-oriented goals, and they are a responsive, coordinated, and efficient national system of innovation, This is the engine that drives all of the activities that we do. So we always try and look at whether we have this engine being responsive, coordinated, and efficient. So we'll share with you some of the latest developments on this work. Increased knowledge generation is the bedrock of the work that we do in the knowledge economy. And then you need human beings that drive the knowledge generation. And then we try and harness knowledge for economic development and for inclusive development. So if we look at the overall review of the performance, we just want to also indicate that we received an unqualified audit opinion on both the finance and the predetermined objectives. This means that the audit outcome for 18 and 19 financial year was maintained. And then we are also happy that the number of internal management reports have been significant. Again, at a macro level, 40 of the 46 targets were achieved, which translates to 87%. And then 6 targets, which translate to 13%, were not achieved. And at the end, we will share with the committee which ones were not achieved and why. So this is just a graph that we use to track how, on a quarterly basis, we are tracking the targets. As you can see, we always want to make sure that we keep ourselves about 75% of the targets achieved, even on a quarterly basis. This is the trend of the performance from 15-16, and you can see that we tend to hover around 80% and 89% in terms of the targets that that are achieved. So we've already shared these 5 strategic-oriented outcome goals, and we just want to share with the committee some key highlights at the beginning, and then we'll go through each of the details later on. During the year, the 2 ministries were merged into 1 ministry. And when that happened, the minister requested that the review of the higher education, science, technology, and innovation institutional landscape be done. It was only focusing on science, technology, and innovation. So he requested that we add the higher education. And this report has now been completed. We will, of course, share with the committee what are the outcomes of this report, but it was there was work in progress of this report, and we are using it to inform the decadal plan that we are developing, which we hope to complete by February, March this year, on what are the plans or what is the plan for science, technology, and innovation for the next 10 years. We're also happy that Parliament, as well as Cabinet, approved the white paper, new white paper on science, technology, and innovation. And this will be implemented through a series of decadal plans that, of course, will be reviewed every 5 years. So they will align with the strategic plans. And then the first decadal plan that we are developing, as I've indicated, we hope to finish it by the end of March this year. The framework has been approved, and in fact, we have a first draft that we are cleaning up, and we are consulting with some key departments. We've consulted with the Department of Agriculture, and tomorrow we'll be consulting with the Department of Health around those aspects of science and technology that we believe should be implemented in consultation and in conjunction with us. Knowledge generation. This just gives the statistics of the number of grants, research grant supports that were made possible. So during 1920, we awarded 3,205 research grants. 48% went to black researchers and 41% to women. So we're very happy about that. And then on increased knowledge generation, over 7,000 research articles were published by the DSI NRF-funded researchers, and they were cited in important journals such as the Thomson Reuters Web of Science Citation Database. And through the NRF, 33 research infrastructure grants were awarded, And these are important, if you like, metrics to measure whether you have a healthy knowledge generation capability. On human capital development, we just want to reiterate the importance of skills as the greatest equalizer in reducing inequality, poverty, and unemployment. And in line with the NDP goals as the DSI, through various human capital development initiatives, we aim to empower South African citizens by giving them the right skills to innovate. And so we'll be sharing some of the highlights. 11,992 students, that comprise 8,632 undergraduate students. Of that, 327 were master's students and 3,025 were doctoral students. Approximately 1,312 students were placed in DST-funded work preparation programs. So these are graduates that are placed in the science education technology and innovation institutions, that we have. So we are happy with the number of students that we've been able to place in these programs. And then as part of our public engagement program, we have a total of 29.4 million participants that were reached through science awareness and engagement programs. Of ourselves and the entities, and these are usually done during the Science Week. So just to give you the trends of the numbers of honors, masters, and doctoral students that we funded over the years, you can see that we are just under 5,000 in 17-18, 4-5 in 18-19, and approximately 4-5 in 19-20, and you can see for the master's programs as well as the doctoral programs. What we are also highlighting here, Honorable Chair and members, is the slight decline in the numbers of students that we are providing, but this is just a function of the budget cuts that we are receiving. On using knowledge and innovation for economic development, we just want to give you some highlights. During the period under review, we focused on the stimulation and intensification of tech innovation in order to improve economic. And we just want to highlight the role played by the National Intellectual Property Management Office, NIPMO, which continues to play an enabling role in the utilization of knowledge for economic and social development through the support that they provide to the offices of technology transfer that are located in the higher education. So just some highlights, they provided about 20 million to all eligible IP intellectual property rights protection and maintenance costs. And the reason why this is important is we think it is important to remember that to exploit or to use IP rights, it costs money. And you have to make sure that when you have generated knowledge, there are no other people who infringe on these rights. And it also gives the institutions the capability to take this IP into the commercial space with the support that is provided. And we're also happy that now we are beginning to provide and extend this to previously disadvantaged institutions, such as the University of Venda and Mangosuthu University of Technology. And we supported 7 of these offices of technology transfer from 4 different provinces through this fund. We also need to make sure that we have well-trained individuals who know how to handle intellectual property. So a partnership with the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, continues to provide training and skills development to personnel at these offices of technology transfer. We also just want to highlight an artificially constructed wetland bioremediation consortium, which is led by UNISA with the institutions shown there. And this consortium undertakes various research, development and innovation activities targeted at the technology demonstration and upscaling of the artificial constructed wetland bioremediation technologies. A very important program in the area of environment. We just want to share with the Honorable Chair and the members the footprint for the technology stations that we have. These are located at mainly universities of technology, and they provide a range of support to small, medium enterprises and co-ops. So that you know that in each of the provinces, we do have these, and they are very, very important instruments to support small, medium enterprises. So in the second bullet point, we just want to highlight two significant developments in the funding of five aquaculture small, medium enterprises with technology development, and two assessments in the mapping of value chains for indigenous niche and underutilized crops, namely marula and honeybush. For this, we are grateful that a 15 million rand contract from the Technology Innovation Agency and the IDC was signed for the next 5 years, which is a very important indicator of other institutions outside those that report to the minister that show interest in supporting small, medium enterprises to improve their products and take them in. We also have a grassroots innovation program, which is run by the Technology Innovation Agency. And during the year under review, a call for grassroots innovations was issued, and this attracted over 288 responses from across the country. And over 100 qualifying local innovators were being enrolled in the program, and then it helps them to develop their concepts, commercialize their ideas, and create prototypes. So it's not just the state making itself the state that knows everything, but it works with those that have ideas and provides some support to individuals who have interest in taking their ideas to the marketplace. We also have been working with a number of municipalities, and this is a program which we call a Municipal Innovation Maturity Index, which has been developed, and we've just signed an agreement with the SALGA, South African Local Government Association, to look at how this concept can be taken further. And I will be sharing with you in this slide. On the top left-hand side, this Municipal Innovation Maturity Index is a framework that assesses the smart city maturity levels of municipalities. It also assesses the individual capabilities of the municipal officials to innovate for purposes of increased service delivery. What you see on the left-hand side are the five levels that are part of this MIMI. Level one, which means there's very limited capacity, and level six, which means it's so well developed that it's actually shared with the others, and we give the details of the various levels in the bottom left-hand corner. And what we show in the inside the right-hand side is the index in one of the municipalities that we work with. So it's just a graphic illustration that shows whether it's at level one or in level five. So it's a very useful indicator and helps us to work fairly closely with the municipalities so that those that are in the higher level, we can then start to look at what kind of innovations can be included as part of service delivery. So the first pilot was for six district municipalities, with most municipalities at level two, and the current piloting of the digital version of this tool covers 24 municipalities. The target is to reach 60% coverage of municipalities by the end of March 2021. So it is a very grateful, useful tool for engaging with the municipalities. We're also grateful on this highlight where a cooperative operated wireless internet connectivity network project in Mankosi village was launched by our minister together with the Minister of Communication and Digital Technologies. This Mankosi Village Cooperative, the University of the Western Cape, Zenzeleni Cooperative, and the Technology Innovation Agencies has been able to get over 3,000 users connected to the internet, including schools, non-governmental organizations, clinics, businesses, and community members. So we think it's a very useful model that has proven appropriate for providing rural communities with reliable and affordable access to telecommunication services and digital hubs. And the plan is to work closely with our colleagues from digital technologies and communications to replicate this model in other parts of the country. International cooperation, some highlights. We've been able to attract over 700 million foreign investment into the national system of innovation through programs that the EU is running. And 684 South African students have participated in international training and mobility programs, such in opportunities such as South Africa, China, Young Scientists Exchange programs. This is just to prepare and build the next generation of researchers. 617 partner organizations cooperated with South Africa research technology organizations as a result of the bilateral program that we have. And then we support about 20 African Union SADC technology and innovation cooperative initiatives, where we also provide continental leadership in work such as South African funding NEPAD S&T flagship program. We also work in multilateral bodies, and we try and influence the global science and technology and innovation policies. And we hosted a successful Science Forum South Africa Innovation Bridge program with more than 3,000 or over 3,000 participants that are coming from all over the world to just science and the importance of science for this city. So I will now go through each program to remind the committee as well that we have a program on administration, program one, technology innovation, program two, international cooperation and resources, program three, research development support, program four, and socio-economic innovation partnership. So this just gives an indication of how each program achieved its target. So 100, 200, program 390, program 467, and program 5 is the, and 67% in program 4 is because of the parts and the number of students that we have. This, I think, we have shown you before in terms of how we track in each program, or this is just broken down for each of the program, which targets were achieved and which targets were not achieved. Just a highlight then on program one, we were able to achieve that all our entities submit their annual reports, annual performance plans to the minister on time. And then we also had a completion of an assurance that is provided by the audit committee, the risk committee, and ourselves as the management. And we reviewed this to see whether the internal controls are in place. We intended to have 24 media articles written to raise the profile of the work. We had 184. We set a target of 10 public participation programs. There were 11 that were held. And as the minister indicated, we got an unqualified audit opinion. Program two, which whose role is to enable research and development in strategic and emerging focus areas to promote their realization of commercial products, processes and services from research and development outputs through the implementation of enabling policy instruments. There were 19 instruments funded in support of utilization of knowledge, 120 knowledge outputs generated. Sorry, the target was 120, we had 197. Policy directives, three was the target, we got six. Support, we had three, and then in our work to support regulatory recommendations to the GMO Executive Council, that was also in terms of tracking new disclosures from publicly funded institutions. 258 was achieved, 297 postgraduate students that are funded in this program, 242 training trainees attending training, such as the one I indicated on the World Intellectual Property Organization. Disclosures, I think, I repeat. 297 postgraduate students, 20 knowledge application products, and 11 commercial outputs in designated areas of on international cooperation and resources. We have already highlighted 738 million rands that were secured to support the national system of innovation, and 2 billion rands of investment by international partners in their own organizations and initiatives in order to have research and innovation for human capital, African students that participate in their program. So this is a very, very good tracking of how much we're benefiting from investments that are made elsewhere. 17 international partner organizations that are collaborating with their South African partners through collaborative, and there were 32 international technical exchanges to build or reinforce our capacities in certain domains that we are probably not world leaders on. 144 research, innovation in science, technology and innovation, human capital development cooperation projects that are co-funded or supported in kind by ourselves and at least one other African partner program that we have to support what's happening in the continent. 195 million rands in international funds directly invested in African regional and continental research innovation, STIHCD or research infrastructure programs, and then 20 AU or SADC STI initiatives that we support as part of making sure that we build capacity in the entire continent. Then 9 formally recorded decisions that are made in intergovernmental science, technology and innovation forums where we've had a direct bearing on resource allocation. 5 leadership positions occupied by eminent South African scientists in international science, technology and innovation governance structures. Program 4, research development support, 650 graduate students that were supposed to be placed. We had just over 1,091. In terms of research infrastructure, 3 research infrastructure grants were awarded. The bandwidth availability over 4,500 gigabits per second available to the higher education and tertiary education institutions through our Sunrand program. And then we've already shared with you the number of research articles that are published by NRF-funded research. And then we've started to do meerkat science in the Karoo telescope. 8 large survey projects have been started, and additional equipment has been installed on the meerkat to make it fully functional. Then approximately 29.4 million participants, it mentioned this in the. And the last program, which is program 5, that enhances the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and the development of strategic government departments, industry, research institutions. And there were 6 knowledge products on innovation for inclusive development that were achieved, 10 decision support systems, such as the one that I shared earlier on, 9 learning intervention seminars that are looking at the outputs of research to inform policy, and then 138 instead of 90 honors, masters, and doctorates fully funded in certain areas of work. 12 knowledge and innovation products. These include patents, prototypes, demonstrators, methodologies, and technology transfer package that were added to the sustainable development property portfolio. 221 intents that were fully funded. 57 industrially relevant knowledge and innovation products and were added into the 9 instruments funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and research and development-led industry development, and 16 innovation support in interventions funded or co-funded that strengthen provincial or rural innovation systems. This is the work we do with provinces, in particular premier's offices, and we produce statistical reports on what's happening in the science system, which it needs. So let's quickly share with you the targets that were not achieved. It's usually three reasons broadly. It's process delays, which refers to under or non-achievement due to factors which are not within the control of the department, and therefore the achievement of such targets is mainly dependent on stakeholders outside. Targets require the department to better manage an interdependent, manage the interdependent nature of the deliverables, which affect our deliverables. And sometimes we work with implementers, and sometimes we find that they are having challenges and they do not achieve due to a number of deficiencies in the implementation phase. And we are trying to work with them to have early warnings on these things. And sometimes it's just the target formulation deficiencies, which refers to under or non-achievement due to variables which were not foreseen during the target formulation. But we constantly review these reasons to see whether we can improve on them. So in terms of the South African students that are participating in international training programs, we had a target of 680. We had 642 of these. Because we need to have information for each and every student verified, we couldn't get all the information verified by the partners that we work with. And as we have indicated, we are working fairly closely with them to make sure that each and every student is tracked and there is evidence that they have received international training. On the number of PhD students, we were hoping to have not less than 3,100, and we ended up with an achievement of 2,900, which is a 3.5% difference. And this was as a result of the National Skills Fund budget for PhDs support. And then also the issue that the bursaries for PhD were awarded at the highest per capita value instead of within a range, which means that you then had to fund fewer students if they were funded at 120 instead of 90. Same issue in terms of the pipeline postgraduate students. We didn't meet the target 1,800. We ended up with 8,600, as again, more or less the same reason. The capital value moved from 45,000 to 65. So if you fund students at 65, then you have fewer of them that receive the full pace. And then on the number of researchers that are awarded research grants through the NRF, the target was 4,500 and we achieved 3,200, underachievement by 29%. And this was as a result of the reduction in the number of researchers that were supported, because the NRF revised the way that they were funding rated researchers. Previously, the program awarded grants annually to all rated researchers for the duration of their period. However, during the year, they revised the model to ensure that only the lower level rated researchers, that's what P-rated 2 means, receive annual grants, and those in other rating categories receive once-off grants in the year. And we have worked with the NRF to say this should be discussed with the department so that it doesn't happen during the reporting period. Then in the master's program of 252 students in certain targeted areas, the program that we are funding together, it's our funded program, which is executed at the Mandela Mining Precinct and the Joint Research Center. There was a bit of a delay in the student allocations, and therefore we did not manage to get all the students that we needed to fund. And then in terms of the decisions that must be done within 90% from date of receipt, for 80% applications received for the R&D tax incentives, we didn't meet this target, and the reason is mainly as a result of the vacancies on staff. Prioritize the vacancies in this area to make sure that we meet. So I will hand over, Chair, to Robert, the Acting Chief Financial Officer, to talk about financial information. And I'm sure that we should be able to do this, Robert, in 10 minutes. Robert?
Yes, DG, thanks. Thank you. Thanks, DG, and morning once more, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ESI and DHET colleagues. I'm going to share with you how the department performed as far as finance is concerned in 2019-2020. What is presented there is the outline of the presentation. I'll be going through the report of the accounting officer, the report of the audit committee, report of auditor general, summary of financial statements, comparison on high spending items, spending on transfer and subsidies, and the impact. I will also be sharing with you the information on irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Next slide. The information that is presented, it is presented in part E of the annual report. As I've indicated, the outline, in the part E, there is the report of accounting officer, audit committee, auditor general, and also I'll be sharing with you the financial statements. That will include the appropriation, notes of appropriation, statement of financial performance, position, cash flow, and statement of net changes. I'll also focus on brief of each report, how did we perform as far as financial statements are concerned, the impact, and also the summary of the transgressions. Next slide, please. The report of the accounting officer highlights the summary of the financial affairs of the department, including overview of the significant events, key policy decisions, spending trends, that includes matters addressed by the relevant programs on performance section of the annual report, the information that the DG had just shared with the committee. It further includes the narrative pertaining to the service capacity constraint and organizational arrangements alongside corporate governance arrangement in those within the department. And furthermore, the report highlights other matters of significance that occurred after the reporting period that could have a material bearing on the affairs of the department, such as the budget cuts that occurred as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. The report of the accounting officer is presented as part A of the annual report. The report of the audit committee expresses the committee's views on the effectiveness of internal controls within the department, the quality of the reporting in terms of the PFMA requirements, as well as the operations of internal audit risk management within the department. Based on the information contained in the report, the audit committee has expressed its satisfaction with the manner in which the department conducted its affairs and for maintaining unqualified audit opinion. The detail of the report is in the part C of the report. Next slide, please. The report of the Auditor General, which is available in part E, is summarized as follows. The department received unqualified audit opinion regarding its financial statement without any findings, which is the clean audit outcome for the third consecutive year, as DG had alluded. There were no findings in respect of compliance with laws and regulations and performance information. Although there were no areas of concern raised in the audit report, AG raised uncertainty due to... Next slide, please. The information presented is the highlight of how the department performs as far as appropriation is concerned. The appropriation statement just provides an indication for the spending against the funds that were allocated to the department. So the summary, the department was appropriated 8.1 billion. It was appropriated 8.1 billion, sorry, including donor funds that were 12 million. All in all, the department had 8.184 billion. The department spent 8.64 billion, which comprised of voted funds of 8.52 billion and donor funds of 12 million. The variance for the underspending was 119 million, which is 1.5% of allocated budget. The underspending was mainly in voted funds. The donor funding, the amount was spent, all of it, the whole amount was spent in the financial year. Next slide, please. The slide highlights how each program performed. Program one, they had a variance of 49 million, which is 13.2%. And program two, they had a variance of 43 million, which is a variance of 3.4%. And program three had a variance of 13 million, which is a variance of 8.8%. Program four had a variance of 5 million, which is a variance of 0.1%. And then program five, 8 million, which is a variance of 0.5%, which translates to 1.5%. The slide shows spending in the various economic classification segment. Under compensation, the department had a variance of 65 million, which is 16.8%. There's a variance of 15.8 million, which is a variance of 7.1%. Under transfer and subsidies, we have a variance of 37 million, which is a under payment for capital assets, there's a variance of 1.3 million, which is 15.3%, and under payment for financial assets, write-offs and others, we have a variance of 45,000, which is 33.6%. Next slide, please. The slides in it just give us an indication of what happened, what were the reasons the various classes did not spend. Under compensation, there was delays in filling of the prioritized vacant position. And then the transitional measures from the fifth administration to the sixth administration and the suspension of the filling of the position in program one, including the delays as a result of the microorganization of the state. And there were changes in the ministry, the salaries of the deputy minister's office that were paid by DH. The budget for that was transferred, but they were not paid under that budget department. Under goods and services, the postponement of the projects such as the participation program, social and digital media bids, and the upscaling of the National Science Technology and Innovation Information Portal to the current year had an effect on the spending on this item. Delays in contracting on service providers for online research and development incentive system due to disagreement as a result of the contracting, there was a limitation clause that the service provider was not checked with, had an impact on the spending on the items. Under transfer and subsidies, we couldn't spend 31.6 million for social impact bond because of the delays or the implementing agent not being ready, you know, to implement the project. So that 1.6 million couldn't be transferred. And also there was the uptake by the SA institutions on the projects that the department is funding together with EU. There was a slow uptake then. That one also had an impact on the spending. Under payment for capital asset, the spending was at the same as goods and service was as a result of the service level agreement where the service provider was not hit with the limitation clause. As far as payment for financial asset is concerned, the department, you know, anticipated that some of these items or losses will be finalized in the previous financial year. Unfortunately, some of them were only finalized in the current financial year. That is why those funds could not be spent in the past financial year. We have also highlighted few of the high spending items and those that underspent significantly as compared to the previous financial year. Under travel and subsistence, because there was no, you know, there was the travel was reduced during the elections, and as a result, it had an impact on the spending under this item. And then property payments, we had an invoice that was not billed for quite a number of years. We do not know what the reason was. They only billed us in the last financial year of 28 million that the department paid. It had a significant impact under this item. The item was higher by 263%. And then under venues and facilities, the item as well went higher as compared to the previous years due to the number of events, meetings hosted by the department, the Science Forum, and the Innovation Bridge that we had. Next slide, please. under advertising, the item went down significantly. The decrease was due to, you know, normally when we advertise, we use commercial radio stations. Sometimes, we, you know, that area of you know of advertising is quite expensive. So the focus was on using community radio stations, which are less as compared to commercial radio stations. With regard to computers, the computers as well, with regard to the liability clause, that is why that item did not spend as it did in the previous financial year. Next slide, please. The agency outsourced services. There was a delay in the appointment of the service provider for provision of these services. That is why this item as well, it spent less as compared to the previous financial year. With regard to contractors, there was a significant maintenance of the building. You know, sometimes the building will, you know, as a result of rain, it will leak. As a result of that, there was a significant maintenance of the building that and the item went high as compared to the previous financial year. And under consultants, the consultants went down because of the measures we put in place to ensure that we don't spend much under consultants. Together with catering, we have put measures to ensure that there is no much catering in the department to ensure that we comply with the cost containment measures. Next slide, please. We have put the slide to show under transfer and subsidies, which are the highest spending items. Sorry. Our parliamentary grants, they do play a significant role as far as the spending is concerned in this area. Academy of Science, they received 26 million. A Council for CSI, they received 965 million. Women's Science Research received 324 million. NRF received 943 million. SANSA received 143 million. CIA received 440 million. And then the projects that are spending significantly under HRD, 997 million was spent. The research and development infrastructure, 687 million. Square kilometer array, 686 million. South African Research Shares Initiative, 566 million. Cyber infrastructure, 251 million. Next slide, please. This underspending, what is the impact of this spending to the department? As far as compensation of employees is concerned, there won't be any financial impact to the department as a result of this. However, the challenge would be officials who will be, you know, having to work added responsibilities, which could have a challenge on the officials concerned. The understanding under transfer, the social impact program will be, if it is not over period, if we continue having the challenges, we might have challenges there, but currently there won't be any challenges. The project that were not finalized under goods and services, funds will be shifted from other areas to ensure that the projects are implemented. Together with the same with payment for capital assets, funds will be shifted to ensure that the projects are not suffering. We have shared the slide with you for irregular expenditure, how we are performing there. The majority of our irregular expenditure emanates from prior years. We, at the beginning of 2019-20, we had 35 million irregular expenditure. Only 2 million was dealt with. When we closed the books, we had 32.7 million. Next slide, please. For the current year, we 2019-20, we incurred irregular amounting to 194,000 as a result of non-compliance with the public service regulation. The assessment with regard to this irregular expenditure was completed. The report was approved. It has recommendations which are currently being implemented. And then with regard to the prior year periods, irregular expenditure amounts to 35 million, and then National Treasury has indicated condoned only 2.5. Rare cases of irregular expenditure amounting to 66,000. There are few that are not yet concluded, are being finalized. And then irregular expenditure amounting to 24,909,000 were finalized in the last quarter, only in the first quarter of 2021. Next slide, please. With regard to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we had an opening of 526. We did not incur any fruitless and wasteful expenditure in 1920. But the next slide, please. As I've indicated, there's no fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred. The 526 that was incurred, the report was concluded, and based on the investigation, the outcome of the report, no one was found liable. The matter was finalized in the first quarter of 2021. Next slide, please. Thanks. I think that will be the last. DG, I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Robert. So, Chair, these are sample of projects. We don't intend to go through this in much more detail because we have excluded the time. But it gives you a sense of, for instance, the technology stations. I show the map of South Africa and where they are. This gives a little bit more detail, which university hosts which station. The next one is the technology localization programs that we have, which contain the technology assistant packages and the sector-wide support assistant packages. And again, we indicate where these are located. And then in the Northwest, these are programs that are running out of the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa. And then we have programs for water technology demonstration programs in the provinces you see there on the left-hand side, whether the CSIR is doing in Gauteng, and then some crop and plant improvement, molecular breeding and genome engineering programs, animal improvement, molecular breeding and genome engineering work that is being done in the provinces. Again, the bio programs and the pharma development innovation support program, technology dissemination program in support of smallholder farmers, value chain development initiatives as part of the Agriculture Bio-Innovation Program, innovation, indigenous knowledge-based nutraceuticals, natural medicine, medical cannabis, and then tech transfer incubation programs, Northern Cape Square Kilometer Array, structured school-based science engagement initiatives, national recordal system for Indigenous Knowledge Documentation Centers, Ofimbaba Science Center, and so forth and so forth. So we don't intend to go through these. We've submitted these to you, Chair. The list goes on and on in terms of the district level initiatives that we're participating in as a Department of Science and Innovation. So as I said, I don't intend to go through this, but it's available to the... Thank you very much. Sorry we've overrun by 5 or 7 minutes, Chair.
Thanks a lot. This, as I said earlier, that it gives us binoculars to see where we are going. Our vision is out there. But with this report, you're able to bring it close and say, this is what we'll be able to achieve if we go at this rate, but at the same time, helping others. There's no, it doesn't help going it on our own. We need to find a way of coaching others and also helping them to. It is our responsibility, actually, as this as Department of Higher Education, Science and Innovation. Part of the things that we do, we coach, support, and motivate others to move forward. Honourable members, there's the inputs from the department, the reports. I think it's time for us to engage with this. And then, given the time that we have, some of the questions will ask may not be answered immediately today, but this is not the end of time. We still have many years to, you know, to working together going forward. And that some of the questions will be answered in writing, even with more details as we go. Honourable members, here are the inputs from the Department of Higher Education and Training and Department of Science and Innovation. I've already made my comments in the beginning in terms of some of the things that I see as important that all those five goals that we have. And as I outlined again in the national development plan, because that is our beacon of that shows where we are going, and the way in which the department is going, it shows that we are not lost, and that victory is certain. Honourable members, let us engage with the. With the inputs, questions, comments, okay. I'm looking at the, you know, that you raise your hand through the system. There's a raise your hand icon. On that icon, I see Honourable Christians. And there's Honorable Baha. And in that order. Honorable Christians.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I would just like to appreciate the Department of Higher Education for their presentation. It was a very in-depth presentation, so thank you very much. For that, I have a few questions, and as the chairperson said, if it cannot be answered, it can be done so in writing. I would like to start off with the community education and training presentation. I just have one question there with regard to program 6. Now, in terms of the system targets, the CET branch did not achieve any of the two targets. Now, part of the reasons that were included were poor planning, low enrollment targets, poor advocacy to attract students, limited access to infrastructure, etc. Now, I just want to know by the department, are there any plans to review the viability of the CET program and as well as capacitate the CET sector more adequately in terms of their management staff? And then I just want to note that the certification backlog at TVET colleges, I'm moving on to the next, to TVET colleges now. The certification backlog remains a huge concern, and I just want to note that. And as a committee, we will continue to monitor the department's commitment to achieving a zero backlog, as they have stated. And then also on the program for the TVET colleges, 2 out of 7 of the targets were achieved. Now, the reasons for this stated was that principals were not prioritizing the relevant procurement processes. Now, I want to know in terms of consequence management, are there any plans in place to monitor this and to control it? And what are the plans going forward in order to achieve these targets? And then it was mentioned that in the Karoo district, the Meerkat Telescope project, I just want to know, are there any plans in place there to capacitate the people, especially in the Northern Cape where, you know, data transmission and technology is very, very limited. Are there any plans in place for the department to extend that kind of assistance for the people in the Northern Cape, especially with regard to network access, data access, etc. Then I also want to note that the spending of consultants, although it has been minimized, I know it has been reported that it has been minimized, but it is still significant. Now, what plans, if any, are in place to completely do away with consultants in the future and to capacitate and employ suitable people? Otherwise, we will continue to see, you know, the spending on consultants if we do not capacitate our people on ground level and, you know, especially with regard to our TVET institutions and our universities. Then I would like to ask a few questions on NSFAS, if that will be allowed. Now, across the country, there have been many reports that students have not received their NSFAS bursary payments. Many students have reported that when they try to access their funding, especially through the wallet system, that error messages occur on their transactions. Some have reported that without even accessing the money, the minute they log in, it says that the money has already been spent. So it shows that there are a number of IT or ICT-related errors with regard to the NISFAS system. Now, I take note of the fact that recently there was a tender out for the ICT system to be upgraded, the ICT disbursement system at NISFAS to be upgraded. But that tender was again withdrawn. Now, I just want to know by the department, if that tender for the ICT disbursement system has been withdrawn, when will it be reinstated? And will it be in time then for our new cohort of students next year so that the same things and the same system glitches do not appear again next year? And also, I'd like to just note the department that the errors that have occurred, I've sent NISFAS a list of students with their names, with their ID numbers, with all their details and the errors that have occurred. To date, NISFAS has not responded to any of my queries. And to date, and it's now been maybe 3 months, the students in the Northern Cape have still not received their funding at some of the TVET colleges there. So it is of a huge concern that although they've gone over to the e-wallet system, that students have not received their funding. And then lastly, the extension of the academic year that has been noted in media, etc., at universities. I've noted that in August, I think the minister said that there'll be a need for an additional 4.4 billion that will be needed for the extension of the academic year. I would like to know if this is still the case. Has such funding been secured? And what impact will it have on students, especially the new students that are going to matriculate at the end of this year? Will the funding be adequate? And are there any contingency plans then to assist this new intake of students for next year? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Bach, I think you are next on the...
Ngosi Sihlalo. Chair, firstly...
Followed by Ndongeni and then the Honorable Gillion, in that order.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I think that firstly we must acknowledge and congratulate the Department of Science and Innovation for being best department and also the best DG. I think that that goes a long way in what we're trying to achieve in having a department that is responsive to the needs of students. But secondly, Chairperson, I think it's worth mentioning again to say that in spite of everything, both have received unqualified audits in terms of handling finances, which is also a huge achievement, given the fact that across departments, it's been a different outcome. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that so that we have a staff complement that kind of is able to acknowledge the what they receive as a number one in terms of doing what they are supposed to do. Having said that, Chairperson, I also want to welcome both reports because I think that it's quite encouraging to be involved in such, because it means that people are doing their part, but also they are kind of trying to ensure that whatever is required, they are able to do that. The one or two questions that I have, Chairperson, would be in terms of the recruitment I've noticed that, in, for instance, in science and innovation, that Robert is acting as a finance person, and also there are other vacancies that are there which are not yet filled. Probably just to get a sense as to, in order for people to commit in doing what they are supposed to do, at what point would this be addressed, in order to address any kind of issues that may arise? The second one, Chairperson, is on the department itself in terms of the certification backlog. I'm worried, Chairperson, that if that is happening, people might be stuck and not being certified in order to continue or carry on with what they are supposed to do, or get employment and all those things. At what point would that be, would that kind of be corrected? And the one other question, Chairperson, that I have for both components of the department is about the coming year. I know that we are talking backward in terms of what is presented to us, but I think we cannot ignore the fact that there's COVID-19 and therefore there are various issues that needs to be taken into account as we move forward. Now, I want to check, Chairperson, as to how ready are we in terms of the coming year, because probably there would be more students that would be needing assistance financially. How ready are we in addressing those? And how ready are we in ensuring that the department is ready to assist anyone that comes across, in terms of finance, in terms of finding schooling and all that? But Chairperson, I want to welcome the report as presented. Thank you so much.
Honorable Ndongeni.
Thank you, Chair, about the report. Thank you, the department, about the report. And then just my question to add on Honorable Baha about the vacancies. How many vacancies the department have? Secondly, what are the department doing to fast-track the recruitment process? The second one, what are the most critical needs or funding shortfalls on their project? Because they are talking about the project, which is, I don't know whether which is in December or what, if I listen sensitively, but I'm not quite sure. And then the last question, what are the funding requests for each of the five programs for 2020 and 2021? And have there been preliminary indication as to what would be awarded in relation to the request? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Gillian.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, allow me first to congratulate this department on all the achievements as alluded by the minister this morning, and also on the financial achievements. One of the issues that I picked up in the presentation, Chair, is that this department could come back to us and give us a report on wasteful expenditure in the last financial year. And I also would like to thank this department for coming back with a report on the investigation. Chairperson, I really don't have the questions because I think one of my questions were covered by the members. Thank you, Chair. Just one concern, Chairperson, since last week, Chairperson, I received some calls from concerned parents who were struggling to register their children for the NSFAS application. And up until yesterday, parents were struggling because I think maybe there was a system error or a connection error or the system was too full. Now the concern.
Aye, I am like Kalibomu. Lando bendu kumele yon and frugwenza lando no.
Can the administrators at least talk to Sibogazi Shoba, because I think they. Yeah, at least let her keep her mic switched off, because I can see it goes, it's on and off, and there's a background in there. Background noise, it is really disturbing. Can you just mute her for some time?
Thank you, Chair. So the concern, Chairperson, is that there is students out there in the country that were struggling to register for the application of NSFAS, and the application closing date was yesterday. I would like the department to give the assurance to those kind of parents what is the next step that they can follow, because they could not register the application for the children for next year's studies. If the department can just give some assurance to those parents that what is the steps that they need to follow, because it was out of their control that there was a system overloading or a system error or something went wrong for the last week. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Gillian. I'm just trying to check if Honorable Christians, is your hand still up, or is it from the last time when you raised a question? Yeah, the other worrying thing, Chairperson, is Abud Arum Singh, Chairperson, Minister, and the DG, and the team is, the vacant posts, filling of vacant posts. If those posts, there is money for them, what are we doing, to ensure that we speed up this process? Because this is actually a recurring matter. That is my main worry for now. Otherwise, I'm happy with the performance of both divisions under the minister, and that you are indeed doing a very great job. Let's hear answers from the questions, that is comments from all DG or the minister, if there's something where he wants to come in it.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Minister normally allows us to come in first, then he has started. I guess that's the approach, Minister.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Thank you very much. In respect to community education and training colleges, Chair, The arrangement that we have as a Department of Higher Education and Training is with the Department of Basic Education, because CET colleges are not institutions that are existing with their infrastructure where they are undertaking teaching and learning programs. So what has happened, we are using mainly schools as facility to actually undertake and roll out programs of community education and training colleges. That is one hindrance that we are actually encountering in terms of institutionalizing this sector quite properly, because it has got no infrastructure of its own. Those are the matters, however, that are still being engaged with the National Treasury and government generally. Secondly, the staff which is being used there as well, you find that some of the staff that is being used is also teaching in the normal schooling, that is a basic education in schools, and then contracted and paid on claim basis by the CET colleges. And largely, the staff component doesn't have appropriate or proper qualifications for that particular sector. But all these matters are actually receiving attention in terms of support which is given to principals as well as councils, so that they become better resourced and be able to overcome some of the challenges, and in some instances, partnering them with the TVET colleges. For instance, in the financial management of them throughout the country, we started by arranging a structured partnership with a particular TVET college where funds would actually be administered at a TVET college, because they had capacity and systems to do so. It's only in the previous financial year that that arrangement was actually properly allocated within CET colleges after the necessary capacity and systems were actually put in place, and were also assisted by SAICA in this regard, into ensuring that they are nurtured, empowered and developed, so that they could be undertake financial planning, which is quite key in the operations of the sector, with some measure of capacity of which that is happening. So these challenges are receiving attention as we are speaking. In respect to the infrastructure in TVET colleges, this is the first allocation for infrastructure funding that came from the National Treasury for TVET colleges for maintenance, of which then one of the requirements was to develop infrastructure maintenance plans based on the regulations that were developed by the Department of Public Works. And in there, you actually need officials who are responsible for facility management, as well as capacity to procure infrastructure related activities in a manner that is prescribed in terms of the regulations of the public works as well as PMFA. And that support is given to them because at in-house they do not have it, because of the lack of planning capabilities, procurement capacity, as well as implementation at that level. So there is a process of building that capacity, because procurement, upon having developed these infrastructure maintenance plans, have to take place at a college level. They can't take place elsewhere. Therefore, support for them to be able to undertake those responsibilities should actually be given to each and every college so that they are able to run with their processes. And the procurement of infrastructure gets normally delays. It takes a lead time if things just work smoothly, about 4 or 5 months. But in instances where there is no capacity, it takes a bit longer. And at times, upon finishing the advertisement and the trying to identification of suitable qualified service providers, you find that we are not getting anybody who is actually qualifying, meaning therefore we have to restart the process quite afresh. But there is support which is being rendered to these colleges so that they can be able to spend the money in the manner in which it is required within a reasonable period of time. Those matters are actually receiving attention. On the NSFAS payments in respect to students who are not getting them, NSFAS has got systems in respect to dispersing funding to each and every student. In some instances, there are problems that are encountered by NSFAS. For instance, when a student has changed a cell number, it becomes difficult from the standpoint of NSFAS to actually access that particular student without the student having informed and updated NSFAS with the latest information insofar as a contact is concerned. But I think those matters are normally referred to institutions also to assist in that advocacy campaign into ensuring that as soon as a student changes contact details, they must immediately form NSFAS as well as the institutions where they are actually studying so that the flow of payments to them are actually smooth, because there is a lot of fraud in respect to this area. NSFAS has to ensure that when these funds are dispersed to a particular student, it's indeed that student is not getting elsewhere. Also to actually address the question of fraud and the corruption in the system. But we always take up matters as they are reported to us and process them with NSFAS without fail. So I would encourage that if a student is not able to access NSFAS for one reason or the other, the department is also available. We've got our toll-free number here. We are contacted and we pick up quite a number of issues that are related to NSFAS, and we process them in the system so that the glitches that have been identified are attended to and ironed out quite speedily. The extension of the academic year. The challenge at the present moment, which is quite key, is to ensure that institutions are able to finish the academic year and afford each and every student an opportunity to write exams and finish. It's quite key. It's happening at the present moment. But at the same time, there are processes of planning for the next academic year. And some of the work that has been undertaken, there is an indication that there could be a shortfall of about 4 billion, you know, or so. And in that respect, we are engaging with the National Treasury as to getting the kind of assistance which is actually required in this respect. But the honorable members who acknowledge that there are budget cuts that are imposed on departments, you know, at the present moment. We have just received a letter of allocation from the National Treasury. We're still going to analyze it with the CFO in respect to the impact. But you see couple of billions being cut over the MTF, which is a huge challenge, which in my view, in addressing this matter, we should all be assistive of one another. One, into ensuring that we do not raise expectations out there on matters that we are quite clear that there are financial difficulties. We manage that space of lowering expectations. It's quite key at this moment going forward, because resources are not sufficient to address everything that you would have loved to be addressed. Secondly, we are trying to ensure that the meager resources that are available at our disposal, we manage them quite efficiently and effectively and see how we can mitigate some of these challenges. And the third important area is the engagement with the relevant structures within government to actually help to get some extra funds to actually address the question of the extension of the academic year, because by its very nature, it's something that was never budgeted initially. It has come as a result of this crisis. So it's a matter that we have to address, taking all various aspects into consideration. There won't be one silver bullet that would solve all these problems that are related to financial challenges that are confronting the country at the present moment. But we're doing our level best into ensuring that what we are able to mobilize, we do mobilize, so that we can minimize the negative impact as we get along. On the certification, Chair, so this matter is receiving adequate attention of the Minister as well as the Department, and we are addressing it quite aggressively with our counterparts in State Information Technology Agency, insofar as beefing up and capacitating the technology platform which they are using to produce these certificates, where the glitches are actually experienced, and also ensuring that all other supporting mechanisms and activities towards the realization of ensuring that certificates are issued out in time and the various components of challenges are actually attended to. Because in the main, the straightforward passes in each and every examination cycle, the certificates are issued without any problem. The problem is experienced insofar as when a student is not able to complete and stagger the completion of the subject that he or she is doing, which would require consolidation after completion of all those subjects that were not passed in the first initially enrollment by a student or registration by a student. So the CETA's IT platform is still struggling into consolidating the marks that a student has so that it's able to issue the certificate quite timelessly. But it's a matter which is receiving adequate attention from both the standpoint of the department as well as CETA itself, because it's an important matter that we have to address. In respect to the filling of both Chair, there is a process underway. Posts were advertised and there is a process now of recruitment and the selection that is currently underway, and we hope that these matters are going to be concluded quite speedily. In respect to the closing date, I think this matter will have to find out to from NSFAS as to what could be done if, because the process now has closed. Now, if there were glitches of that nature, they were not brought to our attention as yet as a department, as well as the NSFAS. We are hearing that for the first time. It's a matter that we are going to look at, and the public is going to be informed accordingly. I hope I've tried to cover some of the issues that have been raised. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, thank you, TGM. I think we also have a challenge with time. What time is it now? It's 12:30. So we'll be having something like, to deal with minutes at the end. I just want to check with honorable members if there are questions that they feel they like, follow up on them. I'm worried actually by the issue of the fraudulent salary overpayment. There can be an overpayment. This mistake sometimes we get in other departments. We say that there was an overpayment of this company, and that there's a process to retrieve the money or get the money paid back. But on this one, it's not a mistake. Once you refer to it as fraudulent, it means that you suspect that there was actually a fraud was committed. It wasn't just a mistake. And for me, such issues are not supposed to be dealt with as labor relations issues or as issues of discipline. Disciplinary procedure as well. But I see them as a criminal procedure, cases that need criminal procedure. And I'm sure the department, good as you are, you don't necessarily have the skills that the police have to do this. So we need to find a way of knowing how did this happen and how are we going to get ourselves out of this. And who is the account officer in this matter? Who signed on the dotted line to have somebody being paid fraudulently more than that? Yeah, and then after that we'll take some few minutes to look at this, to consider and adopt our minutes. And then the meeting will close. Are there issues that members feel that need to be addressed quickly? But I'm more, maybe if the DG can talk to this one, the very last one again, unless if I've missed something earlier during the presentation. And then after that, we'll close the session and then open another one with members for adoption of minutes. I think you could be excused when we deal with minutes. Yeah, over to you, TG, unless if I missed something during the...
No, this one of fraud, Chair, it's a matter which is a criminal.
Okay.
And it's being processed with law enforcement agencies, and they are hard on it, and we are getting updates from time to time in respect to the progress. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thanks, sir. Yeah. Let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, particularly the minister and your winning team. This, listening to you brings a sigh of relief that at least there is hope that it's possible that we can turn things around as South Africans. If you made it, then why can't other people do the same? Thank you very much. Honorable members, Minister and DG, do you want to have some few last closing words before we go into minutes?
Chair, thank you very much, Chair, and to all the honourable members, and thanks for this. The one thing that maybe I just wanted to say in closing is that the issue of poor spending on infrastructure is a matter that I'm prioritising. I'm restructuring the management of infrastructure inside the department so that we do not have this unacceptable situation of Chibok College's maintenance infrastructure spending at less than 25%. Those are issues that I will actually be updating members as time goes on. I've also appointed a specialist expert ministerial advisory committee on infrastructure to advise me on basically all of post-school education and training infrastructure, including the many matters also that we're talking about here, like infrastructure for community education and training colleges. Otherwise, thank you very much also for your encouraging words and for your support, Chairperson. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister. And thanks, DG. I guess this is our last meeting of the year. We'll meet again in February. We have a program that will, Nol Tando?
Hello, sir.
Do we need to present the program next year, or will push? Be sent to members, for members to note?
Yes, sir.
Okay. DG and Minister, thank you very much. You can, those who want to leave can go leave the meeting. Let's deal with minutes. We've got five sets of minutes, starting with the minute of the sixth of October 2020. Can you fly that? Okay, just say minutes of the 6th of October, honorable members, any comments on the minutes?
No.
If there's no comment, anyone who moves for the adoption of this minute as a reflection of the meetings held on the 6th? Ndongeni moves. Any seconder? Thank you, Honorable Malika. Let's move to minutes of the meeting of the 16th of October. Any comment on the minutes? If there's no comment, any mover?
Okay.
Any mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 16th?
Baha moves.
Any seconder?
Ndongeni second.
Thank you. Minutes of the 20th of October. Any comments? If there's no comment, any mover for adoption of the minutes of the 20th?
Ndongeni
moves. Any seconder? For minutes? Thank you. We're moving to minutes of the 23rd of October 2020. Any comments on the minutes? No comments. Any mover for adoption?
Ndongeni
moves for adoption of the minutes of the 23rd of October.
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gillian. Second. The last batch of minutes is the 24th of November. Any mover for, any comment on the minutes?
No.
If there was no comments, any mover for adoption of the minutes as a reflection of the proceedings.
I moved a person.
Yeah. Honorable Malik has moved. Any second?
Second, Chairperson.
Baha seconded them. Honorable members, these are minutes of our meetings. And I guess this is our last meeting today for this year. Isn't it like that, Noltando?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, and then let me take this opportunity then to thank all the members for, you know, going out of their way and doing the right thing. And doing the right things, doing them the right way, by making sure that we play an oversight on these two departments, I really thank you for even participated to make this department to be what it is, and with those words, I'll say enjoy the festive season, stay safe. We are not safe until all of us are safe. Let's keep the social distancing, wear a mask, so we can be able to meet next year in February. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
Bye. Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Enjoy your festive.